you were so extravagant in your worship. Keep that energy. Touch your neighbor and tell him, keep that energy. I promise you, I'm not going to preach long. I got Angel up here on the keyboard. I didn't let him leave because he's going to keep me honest. And we're going to just hit a few things, make you aware of a few things that are happening, give you an opportunity to commit to some things that are upcoming. And then I'll pray the prayer of benediction, or get George to pray the prayer. We haven't heard from George in a while. And we'll let George come up and pray our dismissal blessing over this service today. I'm grateful for our church. One of the things that I desperately aspire to be like as I read the Bible is that Book of Acts church. There in your New Testament, right after the four Gospels, you get into the Book of Acts, the action steps of the apostles, the first church. And oftentimes in 2025, preachers, pastors, leaders in churches will look through the Book of Acts to try to make sure we're not missing anything that they did. We need to make sure, or we hope that we're doing and tracking with them so that we don't drift missionally away from what was being accomplished in the Book of Acts or in the first century church. And I will admit, over the years, there have been times where we have gotten caught up in other things and we may have drifted some. Not bad, not horrible, but I was remembering how in the past, if we wanted to attract a crowd to our building, many churches do that. We become very attractional to the outside forces, or outside community rather, to get them to take notice and to come in. And we'll put on different presentations here, festivals and egg hunts and all those things to draw people in and to get people to come in. And you know, we kind of hit the pause button on that a little bit and stop, you know, leaning so much into the attractional model and just say, we're going to learn to host the presence of God in our church. And hopefully, when people realize and understand that you can have Jesus or you can have, you know, a harvest festival, which one would you want to go to? Take me to Jesus all day long. I love funnel cake better than the next person, but more than that, I love Jesus more than I love funnel cake. Can I get a witness in here? And so we've gone back to the days of, we want to be like the Book of Acts. We want to host the presence of God. We want to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to follow that first church model. And there are two things that I've discovered in the first church that they did, that they put an emphasis on, that we steered away from. Not when I say we, I don't mean Riverside Church in particular. I just mean the American church culture kind of steered away from over the years. And I feel like the Spirit of God is steering us back in the right direction, not just us, but the body of Christ in general. But there were two things. I want to read a text to you. And I want you to see if you can pick up on those two things. Can I get you, I am so sorry, can I get you to stand to your feet one more time as we reverence the Word of God? I'm going to read Scripture and I'll pray. And then I'm only going to take a couple of minutes to exhort. I'm not even going to preach a sermon. I'm going to exhort today. In the Book of Acts, chapter number 2, thank you so much for standing. This is what the Bible says. Chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continue, yeah, amen. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Just a couple of more verses and I'll be done. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Let's pray, and then I'll let you be seated, and I'm going to exhort for a few minutes, and then we'll have a time of commitment or an altar call here in just a moment. Father, thank you for the privilege and opportunity to stand upon this platform to be able to teach and declare and to preach the Word of God today. I pray, God, that you will get a hold of my heart and my mind and get a hold of this tongue of clay and help me to say which is right, which is acceptable, which is needed today in our hearing, Lord. I pray, God, that your precious anointing, your sweet spirit, would not only anoint me, but anoint every person in this room today and all that are watching by the live stream. Let our ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And more importantly than that, God, don't let us just be hearers of the Word, but let us do what the Word is calling us to do. Let us put this to action and let us live it out, I pray. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. If I were to subtitle my message or title this message today, I would simply call it Baptized and Belonging. Baptized and Belonging. Two of the things that was emphasized in the book of Acts church was water baptism, spirit baptism, and community or belonging. And I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about that, because next week we're having a water baptism service. We're going to be baptizing. Amen. That should be exciting. We're going to be baptizing folks over here in this baptistry. And you can see up in front of me here all these little signs with these little papers. And I'll tell you more about that at the end of the service. But this has to do with connection and community and belonging. But one of the things that, and I'll admit this, when I first started pastoring, one of the things that I didn't put a big emphasis on was water baptism. I looked at water baptism like how many in the church look at communion. It's a sacrament that we do that is a very symbolic part of the service that reminds us. It's very symbolic. And in years past, this was never a water baptistry. The choir stood over here, and we had a choir in the church. And I don't know if any of you remember the choir that we used to have here. They would sing their hearts out. And there was a choir. I don't know how many were in it. If I remember correctly, it was a decent-sized choir that stood over there. We didn't have the screens here. The building looked completely different. The stage did. But that was where the choir stood, and that's where they would sing. And then as the years gone by of me pastoring here, the Lord started to deal with my heart concerning water baptism, and that it needs to be something that becomes recognized and prevalent, and there needs to be importance in the church put on water baptism. So I ripped out the choir loft, and I built a water baptistry there, and I said, I will endeavor to be the pastor that makes sure that we lean into and capitalize on water baptism, because water baptism is not just symbolic. It is actually the spiritual starting place for many of us begin in the watery grave called water baptism. And so I want you to understand how important and how prevalent and how powerful water baptism really is. It's not just a symbolic thing that we go through. It's not a symbolic thing that makes the announcement that I'm a follower of Jesus. While it does do that, I'm convinced that that's not all that it does. It's not just an outward expression of what God is doing in your heart. I am convinced that something supernatural takes place in the life of the believer the moment they go through water baptism. Otherwise, why would Peter tell these people when they said, "What must we do to be saved?" He didn't say, "Join a church." He didn't say, "Pray a prayer." He didn't say, "Give in an offering." No, he said, "Repent." Touch your neighbor and tell him, "Repent." That sounded very un-Pentecostal of you and very un-apostolic of you. You got to look at them and you got to get your help, angel. I want to hear them get preachery on me. You got to look at your neighbor now. Start getting yourself stirred up. The Bible says, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. And I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you in the most Pentecostal church, charismatic. I don't care, be Baptist, but you've got to get and say, repent. Could they do it in? Can we do it in unison? Yeah, Angel said that needs to be done in unison. All right. I'll count you down from three. Turn to your other neighbor now. That neighbor, that's the wrong neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor. And on the count of three, you got to really get. You got to get your stank face on when you say repent. You got to preach it. Repent. Okay, here we go. Here we go. One, two, three. There you go. That was better. That was better. That was better. You heard that. He said, repent and be baptized. Repent, be baptized. There's a story in the book of Acts that I believe it has to deal with. Who was the evangelist, the missionary that found the man in the cart and he Philip, and he preached to him. Because he saw this man reading the Bible, and he said, do you understand what it is that you're reading? No, I don't. I need somebody to tell me. And Philip come up, and he told him what it was. And immediately the man says, well, then I want to get saved. I want to get baptized. And Philip said, well, look, here's some water here. Let's just do it right here. In other words, there was a very strong emphasis put on baptism. And in the American church culture, we gloss over it. Don't make a big deal out of it. Do whatever now and then. Now, we just had one a few months ago and had 54 people get baptized. Amen. To God be the glory for the things that he is doing. There's something powerful that happens when you get water baptized. There's something supernatural, I am convinced, that happens when we get water baptized. If you're taking notes, I've got 2 points, and that's it. Point number one, the first church was bold about baptism. That's point number one. They didn't say, take a class, wait till next quarter, wait till next year, wait until the pool gets filled up, wait until the weather's nice, wait until, let's make sure that you're ready. They said, repent, be baptized, and receive. Death, burial, resurrection, the supernatural starting line for the early church was water baptism. It was more than symbolic. It was spiritual warfare. It was saying that the kingdom of darkness no longer owns me, but I'm under new management starting now. That's water baptism. Here's how Paul said it in Romans. He said, do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. Let the church say newness of life. Some of you are saved, but you've never been buried. Some of you have professed, but you never put the old you in the grave. That's why the enemy keeps visiting your life, because you've never had a funeral for your flesh. Somebody say, preach, preacher, preach. We want resurrection power, but we don't want to go by the way of the cross. We want to walk in the newness of life, but we keep dragging our old self on behind us. Touch your neighbor and say, quit dragging the old you around. This is not just a tank. It's not just a tub. It's not just a pool full of water. This is the place where sin dies, where curses are broken, where hell loses its jurisdiction over you. Water baptism is not where we get wet. Water baptism is where we get free. Come on, somebody. It's where the blood of Jesus that we were singing about just a moment ago. It's where the blood of Jesus is testified by your obedience to follow in the likeness and manner of Christ Jesus, who was baptized in water. It's the death to self. That's why we steer clear of it in the Americanized church, because preaching death to self doesn't get a lot of hand claps, doesn't get a lot of amens, doesn't get a lot of shouts from the people that attend a lot of the American churches today. They don't shout over the preacher getting up and say, "Die to yourself." We don't get amens on that. We get oh my's on that. Because at the end of the day, we love our lives. We like how we are. But what we want more than anything is we want to add Jesus to our good American lives, like he's a necklace, like he's a bracelet, like he's a piece of jewelry. We add him to what's already good just to make me a little bit better. That's not what they did in the book of Acts, church. They preached death to self, death to your flesh. Go by the way of the cross. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Anytime anybody saw a person in Bible days carrying a cross, they knew that that person was on their way to die. There was no pardon. There was no excusing. There was no you get a pass. If you were carrying a cross in the Roman Empire, you were on your way to death. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And Jesus, knowing the culture and knowing the people that he was talking to, made sure he said explicitly, "Let me make it plain to you, take up your cross every day and be my follower." And we do it when it's convenient, when it fits, when our schedule allows it, when it seems right, when it seems we'll take up our cross. But we don't die to self. I don't think we want to most of the time. Whew, I feel like being bold, but I'm going to pull back a little bit. No, you do that, and I say it, and then I get into trouble, and then you go home and enjoy your lunch. And then I go home and deal with the text, the phone calls, and the emails. I don't know. If we died to self, we say, "You know what, I'm going to die to myself." I'm going to tell you right now, we wouldn't have a bunch of people addicted to drugs in this church. I don't know that we'd have any addiction anywhere if we died to self. If we took that self into that grave, buried that joker, I can't. See, you want me to preach it, but then when I preach it, you get quiet on me. That's just another data point that you like your addiction. You don't want me to talk about it because you want to cuddle it, pet it, and baby it, and kiss all over it when you're not in church. But I want to talk to some real folks and real people that are sick and tired of being depressed, being anxious, being addicted, having to pop pills, shoot it in your vein, drink alcohol. If you're sick and tired of it, get in that watery grave with me. I wish that I'd die to myself. I'll pick up my cross and I'll follow you daily. But let me go ahead and take some of this meth with me. Let me go ahead and take this crack cocaine with me. Let me take some of this weed with me. Let me take some of this. No, you don't want it. You don't want it. You happy where you are. You like having that with you. Sure, I feel like preaching in here. I wonder how many of the problems that Christians have been dealing with that are related to habitual sin, if we put them in the grave, we wouldn't have those problems anymore. We won't be dealing with some of those things anymore. Okay. I love the music. It softens it. Makes it more palatable for them. Doesn't sound as harsh when you got a keyboard behind it. It's like, that doesn't sound so bad now. I'm just saying that a lot of the things that we struggle with, we wouldn't struggle with if we would learn to die to self and bury things in the grave. And then knowing that when they get buried in the grave, when we go under, we die like Jesus died. And when we come up like Jesus came up. But we don't come up the same way. We come up, as the scripture says, in newness of life. You know what the problem is? Many of us, we come up in newness of life, but then after a while, we go looking for the old dead body that we buried and try to put that skin suit back on. Because you haven't learned to be discipled. You haven't learned to walk in with Christ. You haven't learned to discipline yourself. It takes some discipline to be a man and a woman of God. It takes a discipline to be a real Christian. Are you tired of shallow Christianity? Because I know for a fact I'm tired of shallow Christianity. I'm tired of shallow Christianity. I want something real, something authentic, something deep, something that's transformational, something that will eradicate the sin out of our lives and change us and transform us and make us new creation in Christ Jesus. That'll make us walk different, talk different, act different, behave different. What must we do to be saved? Repent, change your mind, and get baptized. That's what you need to do. Do you know, I'll say this about baptism, and then I'll move on to the next one. Baptism is where your enemy comes to die. I want to talk to every person in this room that's still tormented by an enemy. The reason you might be still tormented by an enemy is because you haven't seen your enemy die yet. And where does your enemy die? In the water of baptism. In the book of Exodus, Israel was coming out of Egyptian bondage, crossing the Red Sea. And as they were crossing the Red Sea, God made sure that when they got on the other side, that when they turned around to look to where they came from, they saw their enemy, their adversary, their tormentors, their taskmasters and slave masters. God said, now look where they're at now. They followed them into the Red Sea, trying to recapture them, trying to take them back into slavery and bondage. And God caused the Red Sea to close up over them and drown Pharaoh and every single person associated with him. Why do you think God did that? Because God didn't want them going into the promised land looking over their shoulder every 5 minutes, wondering, is that tormentor going to come back and enslave me? They were able to go into the promised land knowing that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you don't feel free because your enemy's still tormenting you. If your enemy's still tormenting you, I challenge you, get in the watery grave and watch where your enemy drowns and dies. I wish I had somebody to give me a witness in here. Hallelujah. That's a supernatural thing. That's supernatural. Saying, I'm going to let that thing die. Let that tormentor die. Let that have, he could die at the bottom of the tub. And when I come up new. And I'm not going to look over my shoulder to see if nicotine's going to come up behind me. I'm not going to look over my shoulder to see if crack cocaine's coming up behind me. I'm not going to look over my shoulder to see if alcohol is coming up behind me. I don't have to. Why? Because I'm not the same person who I was when I went in. I'm somebody new. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And it's mine. Push your neighbor and tell him, ask him, are you new? Are you new? You know what's funny about that, Jeremy? If it's a first-time guest that goes, as a matter of fact, I am new. It's my first time here. Thank you for asking. It's a very violent church. They do a lot of yelling and pushing on people here. Let me tell you what dies in the water of baptism. Your sin nature. Your shame. Your spiritual slavery. Your generational curses. Your tormenting thoughts. Your addiction, your old identity dies in the watery grave. Amen. And when you come out, you're not struggling to maintain your freedom. You're standing in victory because the enemy that chased you can no longer chase you and no longer exist because he's no longer breathing down your neck. Can you say amen? Let me rush through this real quick. Let me get to point number. I don't tell you, I had 2 points. That was point number one. Everybody say point number two. Not only was the first church committed and bold about water baptism, but the first church was devoted to community. It's in the text that I just read to you. They all got freshly baptized, and after they got baptized, watch this, they did not go back into their a private Christianity. They didn't go back into isolation. They walked straight into fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. By the way, Friday night, right here, this coming Friday night, everybody say this Friday night. I and all my leaders are going to be in this sanctuary at this altar praying for the water baptism service and for the fall and what's about to come. I'm inviting you to come and be a part of that prayer service Friday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be here. We'll have worship and we'll have prayer. And afterwards, we'll have some fellowship. So if you're new, you feel disconnected, you don't know anybody, come pray with us for an hour and then go out there and fellowship with us. There'll be prayer stations set up all around the sanctuary. Enough of them that if you stop at each one and pray for 5 minutes at each one, you will have prayed for 1 hour. So I challenge you, come out Friday night at 7 o'clock, because it said they continued in fellowship. In breaking of bread, we don't have to worry about the breaking of bread. We break bread around here like nobody's business. We are bread breaking. Melissa, are you in here? The Melissa with the gym? Where are you at, Melissa with the gym? There she is. Melissa, we all need to join your gym group and work off these carbohydrates. I'm going to get in that tub and let the carbohydrates devil die. Melissa, we all should join. How much room do you have in your gym, Melissa? We'll join. So they didn't just attend church. Watch this. They became the church. I want you to shift your culture, shift your thinking. You don't just come to church. You are the church. Amen. Ah, you missed it on this side. Let me come over here. You don't just go to church. You are the church. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You don't go to church. You are the church. Say, I am the church. I am the church. I am the church. No. Say it with conviction. I am the church. You used to go into church not realizing you are the church. They didn't just hear sermons. They shared their lives with one another. Let me ask you this. What if the next wave of revival that hits America doesn't just fall in sanctuaries, but it falls in living rooms? Melissa, what if it starts in your garage with your gym? Why can't the next wave of revival hit there? Huh? Why can't it hit at the sober living home? What if it hits there? Come on, where you at, ladies? Where you at? Where you at? You think it just can happen in a sanctuary. I hope it does happen in a sanctuary. But you know what? I've had some of the greatest moves of God, not on a Sunday morning in a crowd. I've had it happen in a living room on a sofa. Yeah. Can I tell you where transformation takes place? It doesn't take place in rows. It takes place in circles. You know what happens in rows? Information is disseminated. You sit in rows to get information. You sit in circles to get transformation. I don't tweet, but if I tweeted, I would tweet that right. That's a tweeter. Tweet that. Chat host, put that in the chat. In rows, you get information. In circles, you get transformation. In rows, you're invisible. You can slip in and slip out, and nobody knows you. But in circles, you're known, you're seen, you're heard, you're prayed for. Come on. You're prayed for. You say, well, I've been to Riverside 4 or 5 times. Nobody prayed for me. That's because you're in a row. Get in a circle and you'll get prayed for. I can't get nobody to help me, Noriel. I can't get nobody to help me, baby. What if the next revival is not built on a preacher with a microphone on a stage, but it happens where the disciples, where the children of God gather together to lift weights, to break bread, or to, what do we got up here? Holy hot flashes, what the? I stay away from that. I live with that at the house. I stay away from that. See, George, I told you. I can fix it. I know how to fix it. You take it in the tub.
Get on, you, Pastor Tina.
You perimenopausal demon.
She's coming up, bro. She's coming up. Should've. She's coming up. You're about to get cooked, bro. You're about to get cooked, bro.
Security. Security.
Oh, let her through. Let her through.
Where was the keyboard at? I needed music behind that.
Track,
I needed soft music.
I don't know where you're going.
It's more palatable with music behind it. Sounds harsh when there's no music.
Okay. Menopausal.
Thank you.
Menopausal. You got it. Sing it next
gosh,
time.
Menopausal. I don't. Hi, baby. I love you.
I'm not gonna lie, you gotta be on your own, bro.
I said that. If you come back later this afternoon, I'm still gonna be on the stage. Either preaching or praying, either one. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 92. I want you to catch this. In Psalm 92, verse 13, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Watch this. Flourishing isn't a feeling. It's the result of where you were planted. Flourishing isn't just a feeling. It's a result of where you were planted. How many of you want to grow? Wave your hand at me. You want to grow? You got to get in the soil of community. You want to produce fruit? You got to get around people who can water you with the word of God. That's what I love about all these groups up here. You get in one of these groups, they are going to water you with the word of God. They are going to pray with you. They are going to pray for you. You got to get around people that will water you with the word of God, that will, watch this, speak life over every struggle that you have and pray with Holy Ghost fire over your breakthrough. Where are you at, Vicky? Are you in here, Vicky Gabriel? Pray with Holy Ghost fire. Pray in tongues over. Pray in the spirit. Why? Because that's what the early church had. And this is what we want to build again. Acts chapter 2, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Real discipleship didn't happen in the sanctuaries. It happened in the living rooms. The early church didn't just meet in the temple. They met house to house. They didn't just hear sermons. Watch this. They shared meals. They shared stories. They shared struggles. And they celebrated victories. Yeah. They didn't just attend church services, they formed spiritual families. Church isn't built on stages, it's built around tables. Come on, somebody. Let me hurry up and get done. Why was the first church so devoted to community? Number one, they were forming a new spiritual family. Jesus said it this way, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of God. He was defining what family looked like. And after salvation, community becomes your covenant family. People who will walk with you, pray for you, and watch this, hold you accountable. Number two, they needed strength in numbers under persecution. They went under persecution. They were really persecuted. Now, I'm not talking about the persecution you and I deal with when you drive up to the mall and you pray for that first parking spot in the front and you don't get it and you got to park three spots down and you go, Lord, the hand of God is against me. Or you don't make a 4-foot putt. Okay. Or you didn't get a text message back. Or you mentioned perimenopausal from the pulpit and somebody. See, it didn't sound so bad with the music behind it. It was a little soft. It was more gentler. It landed a little.
Nervous. I'm just nervous. She's right there, bro. She's right there.
I thought maybe she'd walked out. I thought maybe she would leave. I can't see back. I can only see right here.
Well, she sees you.
Well, I can't see her. Number three. This is a big one. Real discipleship requires real relationships. Discipleship requires relationships. Why? You can't, I love this, you can't one another by yourself. You can't love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Confess your sins one to another. You can't encourage one another when you're by yourself. These commands require connection. These commands require relationships. Number four, because God designed the church to function as a body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And we've done that too much in the church. We've walked out of churches we should have never walked out of because we said the eye has no need for the hand. And we've let people walk out from here because we said, well, the hand has no need for the foot. And we're all part of the same body. And it's hard to function as a body if everybody's the same part of the body. You become dependent one on another. Number five, because they had the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God creates unity. Let the church say unity.
Unity.
Now, I'll finish it up with this. In recent times, and what I've known and have observed in the last several years of being a pastor, I didn't observe it in the first part, but I'm observing it more and more now, that a lot of people nowadays say, well, I don't need church. As long as I have Jesus and I have my Bible, then I don't need the church. And then we'll get critical of the church. And I know there's more good churches than bad churches. I'm going to say that again. There are way more good churches than bad churches. And the thing that seems to make the news are the bad churches. Do you know why bad churches make the news? Because an airplane that lands safely is never reported about. An airplane that lands safely is not newsworthy. Let an airplane crash, though, and that becomes newsworthy. There are more good churches than there are bad churches. And then what people will do is say, well, I've been part of a bad church, or I got hurt in a church. You probably did get hurt in church, but you didn't get hurt by the church that Jesus Christ is building. I'm going to say that again. You might have got hurt in the church, but you didn't get hurt by the church that Jesus Christ is building.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. And so then we'll say, well, I don't need church. And we'll get critical of it. And we'll stop going. And we'll skip out. And we'll bail out. And I'm not going back to church. I don't want to go to church. And then you start bad-mouthing the church. But I just want to let you know, you talk bad about the church, you're talking bad about Jesus' bride. Touch your neighbor and say, don't kick the bride. Don't kick the bride. You can talk bad about me. You can talk bad about Angel. You can talk bad about the worship service here. But let me hear you say something bad about Tina. I can talk about it all I want to. I'm married to her. She's going to kill me later. Jeremy, she's going to kill me later. I'm going to be in trouble later. Don't worry, baby. I'll repent. Change my heart and change my mind.
How do you want me to follow this?
You gotta work with me, man. I dig the hole. You help me out of it.
I'm scared.
Let me ask you this question. Be honest with you. How many of you ever been hurt in church? Been hurt in church? A lot of hands going up. Been hurt in church. That pain is real. We've been mishandled. Some of you have been overlooked. Some of you have been judged. Some of you, in some cases, have even been abused in places that were supposed to bring healing and hope. Let me say something clearly. As your pastor and as your shepherd of God's people, you may have been hurt in the church, but you're never hurt by the church that Jesus is building. Why? Jesus loves the church, flaws and all. I have my flaws, you have your flaws. And Jesus loves us equally the same. Isn't that good to know that I could be jacked up and Jesus still loves me? I'm not as jacked up as some of y'all are jacked up now. I'll tell you right now, I'm not perimenopausal that you know of. Create tension and resolve tension. I'm going to create the tension, and then George is going to come up and resolve the tension. That's what good speaking, that's how it works. Create tension, resolve tension. I create it, George fixes it. That's what George does.
So much to learn.
Ephesians 5 says this. Stay with me. I'm almost done. We're landing this plane. Rose, get in this tub right now. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Oh.
Oh my days.
Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus didn't die just for individuality. He died for the church. He died for his bride. He knows that we are a mess. I love that people say, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites in there. And I go, good, that's where they need to be. Let them come. Now there's hypocrites at that church. Good. We'll take them in here and drown them in this tub. I'll drown the hypocrisy out of you. We act like Jesus doesn't see our mess, or Jesus doesn't see our hypocrisy, or Jesus doesn't see all that. And how many of you believe Jesus sees all of it? Amen. But you know what's so wild? He still loves you, and he still loves me, and he still loves Riverside. Despite our issues, despite our problems, despite our mess, despite our wretchedness and wretchedness, despite all of that, he looks at you, at your hypocrisy, at your failures, at all your funk, and he still says, you know what? You are my bride. I am coming back for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, my bride. You are still beautiful to me. You are still beautiful. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus says. He's not walking away from the church. He's not embarrassed by the church. You know what he's doing? He's refining. He's purifying. He's preparing us for glory. Can you say amen? All right, I'm done. I'm scrolling all the way down. I'm going to keep scrolling until I hit the part where it says stop talking.
Brother George, where you at, bro? Where you at, bro? Please, please, bro.
Here's what I want to say, and I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. You're still going to get home in time to watch football. You'll still get there. Next Sunday, we're baptizing people in water. If you've never been baptized in water, I want to challenge and encourage you, get baptized in water. If you've been baptized in water, but you've gotten away from God, you've walked away from Him, you've allowed the trials of life to pull you away, but you're going to recommit, rededicate your life, you need to get water baptized. And if you've been baptized before, but now you have a revelation that there's something that supernatural happens in that water, it's not just symbolic, then you also need to get baptized. And so you can get baptized by going to our website at rcclife.com. There's a banner at the top. Click on it and sign up. The reason we have you sign up is because I print out a baptism certificate for you, and I think they tell me that there's a gift that we're giving everyone who's being baptized this go around. Like everybody's like, I'm getting baptized. And no, you know who you are. If you want to get baptized, get baptized. I'll be in there, and I will baptize you personally. And I'm looking forward to that. Second thing I want to say is that before you leave out of here today, I want you to take a moment or two and come to the altar, and I want you to look at each one of these signs up here. If there's something that interests you, something that speaks to you, there's a little card. You can grab that card and just take it with you. Grab two or three if you want to. I know I was talking about the holy hot flashes over here, but we have Celebrate Recovery. We have the Armor of God. We have something called the Bride Tribe. These all meet at different times, different locations. We've got Couples in Christ, and then over here we got the sermon, or the single parent. And over here we're doing a sermon review on the sermon War in the Heavenlies. A lot of you enjoyed that sermon series, War in the Heavenlies. There's going to be a whole Bible study on it. Spiritual Warfare over here. Who's that? Oh, that's JoJo. Oh, yeah, they're definitely casting devils out in that class. 100%. You got a devil, bring it to JoJo's class. We'll deal with that right then and there. I mean, we'll cast a devil out of you so fast. Rush is going on. I love Purpose and Pain. This is Melissa. You heard me talk about her. Purpose and Pain. She said, come to my gym. There'll be a lot of pain, but there'll be a purpose behind it. I have a feeling my ride home, there's going to be some pain. If you had played that keyboard a little nicer, there probably wouldn't be so much pain.
You know it's him, right? Like, you know it's not me. You know it's him, right? All right,
I'll just make it up. The Iron Men. Is there anybody in here part of the Iron Men group? Iron Men?
Yeah.
That's a men-only group. Sage? Where's all my Sage people? Fresh Start? Next Chapter? This is one I'm actually, it sounds morbid, but I'm actually happy about this one. One called Good Grief. And this is a grief, kind of a grief share. People who are going through, who've experienced loss. You've experienced loss and you're going through grief. We've got a class just for you. And I'm excited about that because grief I've watched it firsthand. Women's of Purpose, amidst the Chaos. We got Homeschool Horizons for all of our homeschool parents. So I want you, before you leave here, listen. You might say, well, I'm just happy coming to church on a Sunday. You can do that, and I'm okay with that. But I'm here to tell you that if you want to flourish, if you want to grow, if you want to be part of the first century church, the Book of Acts church, and flourish like that, then you've got to get into a community. You've got to get into a growth group. I want to encourage you and invite you to be a part of one of these groups. That's all I have to say. Stand to your feet with me, please. I love you. Thank you so much for enduring and sticking out. I was not planning on making this a hostage situation, but you guys are amazing and you are awesome. And you know when you come to Riverside Church, I don't have to apologize for it. You know where you're going when you come to Riverside. You know we could be out at 12 or we could be out at 12:30. We could be out at 12:43. We could be out, and we might be here till 2. But and you know where you're coming when you come here. You know that.
Yep.
And you seem to be okay with it. Noriel will just tell me to preach. She said, preach. Don't fake the funk. preach. Do the Ravens play today? What time do they play? They don't play till 8:20. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thought it was one. You may be seated in the presence of God. I will continue the rest of this sermon. Listen, I'm just trying to drag this thing out so I don't have to get in a car with Tina and go home. If I'm not here next week, somebody come look for me. Welcome to the platform, Elder George, who's going to solve all the tension and pray the prayer of benediction over the rest of this service. George, I don't know how you're going to do it. Please, sir, bail me out.
Amen. I'm out. Yeah, that's a Herculean task. Amen. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for baptism and belonging. Amen. Blessed be your holy name, Father. We thank you right now, Lord God, that we know that when we go under that water, God, we are buried with you in baptism. What an awesome, awesome word. And I love what the man of God said about how we make that connection, that transformation in circles, not in rows. And so let's be attentive to the word of God today. We're grateful that we can actually go back and review the message on YouTube as well. I would encourage you to do that. So meaty, a lot of word, a lot of word today. So we're grateful for the word today. And the only thing I could tell Sister Tina is that love covers a multitude of sins. That's all I got. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord grant thee peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Lord God, you cause your face to shine upon us, God. And we are so grateful, Father God. We're so grateful, Lord God, that your face shines upon this body of believers, God. And we're connecting, Lord God. Lord God, we're drawing closer together, and love what the man of God said. We're encouraging one another, God. We're loving one another. We're connecting with one another. We're becoming a family, Lord God. And it's not just a family. It's the family of God. So this is my prayer, God. I love what Angel said about boldness, God. We want to be bold in love. And so this is my prayer for you, that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you would demonstrate what excellent living looks like to the world, that you would be sincere, genuine, not fake, not phony, but genuine in all that you say and in all that you do, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of right living, unto the praise and glory of God our Father. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, unto him be glory in the church, more specifically Riverside. More specifically, Riverside. Lord God, in Christ Jesus, world without end. It's in Jesus' name, all the saints of God said, amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Awesome Sunday.